As I get started, I have a question for you. And it's this question. If you could trade anything in your life right now, what would you trade? If there's anything in your life, just think about that. What would you trade? For some of you, maybe it's kids that actually smile when there's a picture being taken. For others, maybe it's that annoying coworker, or it's that Roomba that keeps trying to end its own life, right? Well, I bet there's one that all of us can agree on that we would be willing to trade immediately. And it's this, gas prices, right? Oh my gosh, right now I'm just so ready. I'm so done with it. I saw something earlier this week that kind of stuck with me, and it was a reel on social media. And it's this guy, he's sitting there in front of a birthday cake. And there's a room full of people, friends, family. And right before he blows out the candles on the cake, someone yells, "Don't forget to make a wish." And so he closes his eyes, makes a wish, and blows out the candles. And when he looks up, the room is empty. Everyone's gone. Turns out, he wished for all the stress in his life to go away. Funny, but would you be in the same boat? I mean, not wishing that your friends and family would be gone, right? But I don't know about you, but for me, some days I'm like that. Like, would you trade all the stress, the pressure, the feeling like things aren't stable, or maybe the fact that your life isn't going in the direction you hoped, and all the fear and all the worry and the things that just sit in your mind and won't let you rest? Or maybe you're like me. Maybe at night, everyone else is in bed and it's quiet, too quiet, and your mind won't turn off, right? You keep thinking about everything going on in your life. And if we were honest, we would all give up anything to get rid of all those. We would give up almost anything to have peace and stability in our worlds today. And here's the interesting thing. All of us can relate to that, but this isn't a new problem. This isn't because of recent events. This isn't because all of a sudden things are different. This has been happening even since biblical times. People have been dealing with this forever. In fact, the Apostle Paul spent most of his life chasing what he thought would finally make him feel right. He had status, though. He had success. He had influence. He was at the top of his game. He was what was called a Pharisee, which meant he had dedicated his life to being morally right and doing everything perfectly. And by most standards, he was winning. He even called himself, he said, "I was the Pharisee of Pharisees." But underneath it all, it still didn't work, because no matter how much he did, it was never enough. And then something changed. He discovered something different, something that didn't require him to keep striving or proving or trying to fix himself. And this is the same Paul who would go on to become one of the most influential leaders in the early church and the author of what we call the New Testament today in our scriptures. And so when he talks about this, it's worth paying attention. And he wrote about this later on in a letter to the city of Ephesus, to the Christians in Ephesus, and the letter is called Ephesians. Here's what he wrote. "All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath." Now, don't get too turned off. I know Paul uses really strong language, but he's trying to make a point. He's saying, "I used to live this way, and now many of you all do, where we live to gratify our own desires, the things that we think will satisfy us, the things that we keep pursuing, going after, that we think would eventually bring us peace or even just happiness." And the problem is, today, if this is you, if you keep chasing or going after these things, well, it's the reason you might be walking over people and leaving a wake behind you. It's the reason many of us are getting into so much debt. It's the reason it could be causing problems in our relationships. And if we keep doing these things, if we're to be honest, it's gonna eventually lead to the bottom falling out, to our own demise, and to our own destruction. And see, this is what Paul is talking about when he says we are deserving of wrath. Now, here's what this means. This is not like, oh my gosh, my whole life's gonna be terrible and God's gonna hate me. That's not what that means. But he is talking about a specific type of wrath. And it's a wrath that causes us not to live the way God intended us to live. In fact, we are living, we might be ended up living a life of sin. And sin is anything you do that goes against God's way of living for you, because he has a better way of living. And the sin will eventually hurt you and hurt those around you. And so he's saying, like the rest, we were by nature deserving of that wrath. But then immediately he turns the corner and says something unexpected. He says this: but because of his great love for us, God, pay attention to this, who is rich in mercy. So he immediately says, you might think you do deserve God's wrath, and you might think you're under it, but that's not the kind of God we serve. He's a loving God who is full of rich in mercy. And how do we know that? Well, because that's what Jesus came to show us. See, Jesus was 100% man and 100% God. And he showed us who God liked and what God was like. And he showed us God is for everyone and loves everyone. The reason we know that is when he came, he didn't just go to the people at the temple, the religious people. He also went to the disenfranchised, the poor, the marginalized, the unseen. Jesus showed up to show everyone that God loves everyone. That means you. That means me. That means all of Hamilton Mill. That means the world. And so this is the God that Paul is talking about. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, here's the key, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And I love this phrase, made us alive with Christ. It's one word in the original language, the Greek, and it means to reanimate, to bring back to life what was dead. You see, God's desire for you is to reanimate your life, to not keep living this life where you're just chasing, hoping, one day doing better and feeling better like Paul did. Instead, he's saying, I want to reanimate you, to give you the life that I intended for you, to move you from death to life. And what is this life? It's the free, full, and forgiven life that is with Christ, that only Jesus can offer. And what does this life look like? Well, it's a life that despite our circumstances, we can have peace in our hearts, understanding that God forgives us, and peace in our minds, knowing God is for us. And this is what Easter is all about. The fact that we have been made alive in Christ because Jesus didn't stay dead on that Good Friday. He rose back to life, proving that he could do this. And when he rose back to life, something happened that could cause us to be made alive, to be reanimated. It was a trade, an exchange was made, and scholars actually have a term for this specific moment. It's called the Great Exchange. And Paul doesn't just write about it here, he also reemphasizes it through many of his writings. In fact, let me show you one specific statement he makes. He says this: for God made Christ, who never sinned. Wait, I wanna pause right there. Jesus was perfect. He never made a mistake. He never sinned while he was on this earth. Now, we might look at people, especially on social media, and go, well, their life looks perfect. But I don't know if we'd ever say they are actually perfect, that they've never made a mistake or even thought something wrong. So for God made Christ, who never sinned, to do what? To be the offering for our sin. How crazy. Just think about that moment. He offered up his son to be for our transgressions, that we were dead in, for our sin. Who does that? I mean, I know I'm a pastor, but selfishly, I've got 4 kids and I would never give up my kids for anyone, even especially people who don't like me, right? This is what God is saying, and especially in John 3:16, one of the most famous verses. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, gave, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Jesus was made as an offering. Why would God ever do that? Well, Paul continues, so that we could be made right through Christ. This is what Paul kept chasing as a Pharisee. I want to be made right with God. I want God to look at me and be pleased with me. So I kept trying and striving and trying to be perfect, and it never worked. But here, this is why. Jesus had to be our offering, the perfect person to be our offering, so we could be made right with God. This is the great exchange, because what happened that day on the cross when Jesus died, he took all our sin and shame and guilt upon him. And then when he came back to life, he traded his righteousness to us. Jesus took our mess and gave us standing with God, his standing. He exchanged his perfect self for a sinful people, through the blood of Jesus, we become the righteousness of God. What that means is when God looks at you, he's not displeased. He's not dissatisfied. He is extremely happy with you. He is so grateful for you. In fact, he calls you his masterpiece, his prized possession. That's how much God loves you. The fact that he would offer his son for you. And this is what Easter is all about, is because Jesus died and was resurrected. And on that resurrection is when the exchange was completed. And Easter reminds us of this specific thing. God made the most unfair trade in history. He took what was ours and gave us what was his. Here's the crazy thing. Jesus made this change, chose to make this exchange, whether or not you would choose to follow him, whether or not anyone would choose to follow him. We were the ones who deserved the cross. We owed a debt for our sin. Yet Jesus stepped in and did what no one else could do, traded places with us. And this, it's deeply personal that you receive this. But here's the thing, you might be sitting there going, yeah, but how does this affect my daily life? What, like, this is great and all, but how does this actually change anything? Well, we've all tried to change before, right? We try harder, do better, be better, and it just doesn't seem to stick. For me, back in the fall, I had this moment where I was like, you know what, that's it. I need to be healthier. I need more energy. I need to exercise consistently and regularly. I need to eat better. But the problem is I love key lime pie and donuts way too much. And so I kept trying, but never could really get there. I could never be consistent. And then for Christmas, my wife gave me a Fitbit. I asked for it. My wife gave me a Fitbit. And the interesting thing is it didn't actually do anything. I was kind of disappointed. It didn't force feed me salad. It didn't cause me to actually wake up and want to go to the gym. It just reports, this fitness tracker just reports what's already happening. It tells me how many steps I took, how much I slept, how active I was. That's it. But something weird happened. Nothing in my life actually changed. Same schedule, same responsibilities, same stress. But instead, I started paying attention to something different. Instead of focusing on what I wasn't doing, I started focusing on what was possible. And all of a sudden, I started making different choices. Not because someone forced me to, but because my focus shifted. And when my focus shifted, my belief shifted, and I started to believe I can actually be healthier. And that belief changed how I lived. Nothing changed around me, but something changed in me. And here's why that matters. Some of you, you're trying. You're trying to change your life. You're trying to be better, but nothing is changing. That's because what you believe hasn't changed. You're still focused on your failure, your guilt, your past. And as long as that's what you believe, well, that will shape your life. But Easter is an invitation to trade that. Not onto what you've done, but onto what Jesus has already done for you. Because when you make that exchange, when you decide to do that, your belief begins to change. And when your belief changes, that's when your life begins to change. Now you can get up and hope things get better, but nothing will change until where you trade where you place that hope. Until you trade what you're trying to do for what Jesus already did for you, you won't experience the peace, the freeness, the fullness that only Jesus can offer. And here's the thing, I want this for you because it's changed my life. But so does your Heavenly Father because he wants to reanimate you, to give you a life he intended originally for you to have. But it begins with trading what you're carrying and placing it on him. You have to exchange the belief that's weighing you down and crushing you. So, what are you carrying? What are you carrying right now? I want you to name it before you leave today. Is it anger, grief, anxiety, frustration, shame, pressure? What is it? What are you carrying right now that you wish you could get rid of? And then bring it before your Heavenly Father in prayer. And you don't have to have eloquent words. You don't have to have this amazing, elaborate prayer. Just be honest. In fact, I've got a prayer I use that I'd love to share with you. Here's what it is. God, I exchange my blank for your peace. And how would you fill in that blank? God, I exchange my desire for my kids to be perfect for your peace. God, I exchange my guilt for what I've done for your peace. God, I exchange my anger for not being able to have kids for your peace. God, I exchange my addiction for your peace. Now, here's the most important part of the prayer. Thank you for trading Jesus for me so I can live the life you have for me. And here's why that is more important than even the previous statement. You can say this, but until you decide to fully surrender to Jesus and exchange his life for yours, nothing's gonna change. Because you see, this isn't just a, like, let me give this one thing. This is a prayer of surrender. That I'm giving my whole self, not one part of it, and exchanging it for Jesus who gave him whole self, his whole self for you. And you're making that exchange. You're willing to make that exchange. And here's the thing. You could say it right now and nothing's gonna change. Because this is a daily thing. You've got to say this every single day. When you wake up, when you're lying in bed and everyone's asleep, when you're driving, whatever it looks like, this is a daily reminding that Jesus exchanged his life for yours. Now, let's be honest. Some of you might be sitting there and thinking, is this just a mindset thing? Like, if I focus on something different, I'm going to feel better? Like, is this cognitive behavior theory? Like, is that all this is? Fair question, because it can sound like that. But this is bigger than just changing how you think. This is anchored in a historical event, something that actually happened, the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And if that's true, what does this mean for you? And if it's true, it doesn't just change how you feel. It changes what's real about your life. And some of you didn't come here today for theology. You came here because something in your life feels off. And if you're not a follower of Jesus, or you're not even sure what to believe, you can still do this because I'm not trying to ask you to become religious. That's not the goal of this. It's about finally letting go about what you were never meant to carry that's crushing you. This is what Easter is all about. Because Jesus died and he rose again. And the resurrection proved the exchange actually work. Think about it this way. Through the cross, you were forgiven. Through the resurrection, you are free. And through faith, you're invited into a completely different kind of life. A life where you don't have to keep striving. A life where you don't have to keep proving yourself. A life where you don't have to keep carrying the weight of your past. And for me, this isn't just an idea. I've lived this because there was a season in my life when I was carrying a lot of anger. It was when my dad passed away. I didn't understand it. I had heard God was loving. He was kind. But if that was true, why would he allow my dad to pass? Why would that happen? And if I'm honest, that anger didn't just stay in one place. It started shaping how I saw everything, my relationships, my perspective, how I even viewed God. And it wasn't until later when I gave my life to Jesus that I realized something. I had been carrying something I was never meant to carry. And I couldn't carry it anymore. And in that moment, I made an exchange. I exchanged my anger for his peace. And it didn't fix everything overnight, but it changed me. And so for you, you don't have to keep carrying this. Today, Jesus already carried it for you. He's already done it. So here's the invitation. Before you leave today, make the exchange. Not by trying harder, but by trusting what he already did for you. Don't leave here and don't walk out of here carrying what Jesus already paid for. Make the exchange right now. And so what are you carrying right now? I want you to think about that. I'm gonna give you a couple seconds right now to think about what are you carrying right now. You don't have to fix it, but just think about it. Just name it. Pressure, fear, anger, anxiety. Just think about that. Take a couple seconds right now and think about that. Some of our worship leaders are gonna come now and they're gonna read scripture over you. And then they're gonna say a statement for you to listen on. And I just want you to think about what you're carrying as they read this over you.
2 Corinthians 5:21. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. So think about this. Jesus took on everything you're carrying, so you don't have to carry it anymore.
This is Romans 5:1. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Think about this. Because of Jesus, peace with God is available to you, not when you fix everything, but right now.
Ephesians 2:8-9. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. So think about this. You don't have to achieve this. Just receive it.
Some of you, as you sat there, you didn't just hear it, you felt it. And if you're honest, you want that. That's not an accident. That's God inviting you. And the invitation is simple, not to achieve, not to clean yourself up, but just to receive. Jesus already did everything needed to make that possible. And what he offers you today is forgiveness, is freedom, is a new kind of life. So if that's you, and you've never put your full trust in your Heavenly Father and what Jesus did for you, I wanna lead you in a prayer. This prayer is not magic words. It's based off of what it says in scripture, where it says, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died and rose again and make him Lord over your life, you will be saved. And so that's what this prayer is gonna be about that I'm gonna lead you through. But this is a prayer of salvation, to surrender yourself to Jesus, to make him king over your life and to receive and to walk in the type of life he has for you. So I'm gonna ask everybody to bow their heads and close their eyes. And you can repeat after me out loud or in your hearts, and if you've never fully put your trust in Jesus, and this is your moment to do that. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for sending Jesus. I believe he died and rose again for me. And because of that, I surrender completely to him and to you. Now I receive your Spirit, and I receive eternal life because I make you my king. I put my full trust in you. Help me now to live your life, the life you have for me, where I love and serve others above myself because of Jesus. Now, if everybody's eyes closed and heads bowed, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, I would love to know just to celebrate in heaven with you and celebrate now with you. So if you did that, on the count of three, would you mind just looking at me? One, two, three. That's awesome. Awesome. Heavenly Father, you are so good that we've got new brothers and sisters in heaven, but also that we have access to this power. It just blows my mind that you would send your only son to die for us so he could trade places with us and we could receive his righteousness so you're always pleased with us, never disappointed with us. So now let us walk in that newness of life, that full, forgiven, free life where we love and serve others above ourselves because that's the way Jesus lived. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for sending Jesus. It's in his mighty name we pray. Amen.